My name's Nanette McGregor. I'm a member of the board of the Also Foundation, and I joined Also as a financial member shortly after my son came out, as I felt that the Also Foundation was a tireless campaigner in the fight to secure some kind of equality for gay and lesbian people within the community. And I was prompted by 3.5 years of unrelentless bullying that my son suffered at school. In the year 2000, a life membership was bestowed upon me in recognition of my efforts to alleviate some of the inequalities which exist in regards to the LGBTI community. This was mainly due to my term as president of PFLAG, which is an acronym for Parents, Families and Friends and Lesbians and Gays. I don't have the skills to argue along the lines which also presented in submission to you. I do not have the legal knowledge nor the language to speak in those terms. I'm pure and simply a mother. An elderly lady from the suburbs, if you like, but I know in my heart that one of my children is treated most unfairly by the laws of this country, and I find it incomprehensible that he and hundreds and thousands of fine Australian citizens are subjected to this kind of legal apartheid, which for no other reason than that they were born different. One of my best love quotations comes from Paulette Goodman, an American mother who served as international president of PFLAG. She said, "I don't think that there can be a more powerful advocate than a parent. And that's why I've chosen to speak out wherever and whenever I can in support of my gay son, his partner, and more than a few gay and lesbian people for whom I'm a kind of honorary mum. Our gay son is one of four loved children, loved completely by his father and myself and by his siblings. From the time of his coming out to this present time, he has always had our unequivocal support. We're by no means a perfect family. We have family flare-ups, but in the things that really matter, we are united. I can't help but make comparisons with my daughter Fiona's marriage in 1998 and my son's ceremony of commitment. Both were happy celebrations, 12 months apart, but vastly different. Fiona's wedding was held with lots of pomp and ceremony according to the rites of the Catholic Church. Ceremony of commitment was held in the Fitzroy Gardens, more low-key, but still very beautiful and meaningful. The vows and promises which each of my children made to their prospective partners were almost identical. Promises to love, honour, respect, support their partners through the good times and the bad. Just a little bit further, expressing a desire to grow old together. Both couples exchanged rings. Were engaged with the words, "You complete me." It came as a complete surprise to some of the guests at the ceremony that this beautiful occasion, with all its joy and happiness, all the wonderful good feelings it generated, was meaningless, apart from being a jolly good party. So I dare say the greatest inequality of all is the failure of the government to recognise and validate a loving, faithful relationship, by at least, by failing to legitimise civil unions at least. Should either relationship break down, Fiona and her husband Michael have full access to the family court. On the other hand, have no such rights as their spousal relationship is not recognised. The same non-recognition of their relationship as being spousal denies them many of the income tax benefits. Is by profession a social worker, being responsible for in excess of 30 mentally ill clients on an ongoing basis. Is a freelance journalist and film critic and reviewer. Obviously, earns considerably more than who sometimes experiences some very financially lean periods. Is unable to claim as a dependent during times when has been unemployed. Earlier this year, was hospitalised following a bicycle riding accident. Fortunately, they'd taken the precaution of organising enduring powers of attorney so that in naming each the other next of kin, those that would be respected. and in the event of serious decisions needing to be made. Although did not encounter any blatant acts of homophobia, when visiting his partner, there were one or two instances of a more covert nature by one or two members of the nursing staff. For example, keeping him waiting for inordinately long periods before allowing him admission to his partner's room. At this particular time, his parents, who are strictly fundamentalist religious people, were still unable to accept their son's A, sexuality, and B, relationship with our son. So matters could have been very awkward, to say the least. Thank heavens they've come around a little bit, and they will at least invite the boys to dinner. So I find it impossible not to make comparisons between my daughter and my son. Fiona's marriage is a very difficult one. She is married to an almost reclusive. They virtually live independent lives. On the other hand, absolutely exude love and devotion to each other. They care for and about each other. Is a part of our family and we love him very much. In my mind at least, they are a married couple. So, despite being taxpayers and contributors to their community, they're excluded in so many ways. They're pushed to the margins. They're downgraded to being second class. And that just isn't fair. And it flies in the face of the fair go for all, which is enshrined in Australia's social mythology. And it causes me grief and pain. And it makes me very angry. I don't want anything special for my son and his partner, just equal rights. The same sort of equality that flows through to our son's heterosexual siblings. The same sort of equality that John Howard's children enjoy, or Philip Ruddock's children enjoy, or Steve Brack's children enjoy. Not one little bit more, nor one little bit less. I was having an after-dinner conversation with last week and ask them about their experiences of being discriminated against. His reply was, well, if you forget about the daily beatings at school, being spat on in the shopping aisle at Safeway supermarket and by a well-dressed businessman, being threatened by a group of hoons in a car park, being refused to be served in a local plant nursery, all those experiences are not really as bad as not having our relationship recognised by the government. They have toyed with the idea of going to Canada to get married, but that's a lot of expense that they don't want to undertake, considering the fact that it's just as a worthless piece of paper and not recognised by our government. He went on to say, it just seems that we don't matter, but we've got each other. And no one can deny us that. That's all I wish to say. Thank you.